Hey guys, before we kick off this film sack, just a reminder that if you would like to help the show and the network in general keep making great content you know and love, support us. Go to frogpants.com/subscribe, and for as low as $2 a month, you can totally do that. That's frogpants.com/subscribe.
There are two men in that jungle who are trying to steal from me. I feel like a little boy who's lost his first tooth, put it under his pillow waiting for the tooth fairy to come. Only two evil burglars have crept in my window and snatched it before she could get here.
You're threatening me? You're threatening me with pee? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 178. My name is Scott Johnson. And this is the podcast that mines the very film, the film of entertainment of the bottom of the barrel of all time. That's what I meant to say. All those things made sense. Joining me tonight, Brian, what we need here is a precision whipper Dunaway.
Oh, that's so perfect.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, pack your bags. We're heading to Brazil. I know, it's crazy. And your mom said I would never be able to find a job. My bachelor's degree in whips. Kiss it, Mildred. South America, here we come.
Mildred.
That's right. Now let's head to the bedroom and practice throw me the idol. I'll throw you the whip. Woo!
Pretty good. Also with us, Randy. He's dead already. He just doesn't know it yet, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian. Brian, Scott. Mm-hmm. This week on Film Sack, we go in search of the legendary Gato. Not the Gato.
Yeah.
The Gato.
Gato.
So that's how you say that, and it's my job to bring balance to the force. So the rest of this episode, I will be eating Cheetos, potatoes, tomatoes, fried bonitos, burritos, and Mentos, the fresh maker.
Can you cut those with a machete while you're at it?
And some chorizo.
And indeed. Mm. Also with us, and finally, Brian, how you like those pants that come to your chest, Ibbot?
I know who's wearing those. Watching this movie, I wrote down two intros for this film sack. So option A, I make some easy joke about an Arnold Schwarzenegger cameo. I ask if you can smell what the Rock is cooking, which is porcini mushrooms. And then I end with a Christopher Walken impersonation. Option B is that I make Dunaway do it.
Right.
Option A. Nicely done. All right. We're talking about 2003's The Rundown. Peter Berg film, which is it's a favorite of mine. You've been saying that for 3 days on email, and it just now I got the tone of it.
Just got a Peter Berg.
You have to hear it. Yes, Peter Berg.
Peter Berg, welcome. Yeah, it's definitely got a weird tone to it. So this is the guy. For people who don't know, he was in that weird what was the snow skiing movie where he played the dumb friend? Anyway, I only remember from that. Was that it? Aspen Extreme. Okay. So that's that guy. But he's also kind of a, I don't know if auteur is the word, but he's busy making movies, directing them, producing them, coming up with cool concepts, pushing other stuff around Hollywood. He's known probably most famously for directing and adapting Friday Night Lights to a film, and then later the television show, which is so freaking fantastic. These are all Peter Berg joints. Yeah.
This is another a Corky Romano reference. I think I referred to this movie last week as well, so I think it's about time for us to review it.
Go ahead.
But he was Paulie Romano in Corky Romano.
Oh, really?
That's right, dude. I had forgotten about that. That movie sucks, though, so I don't remember much from it. It's not very good.
That's
the point.
Yeah.
There was a great film called Late for Dinner with a pair of brothers who get stuck in a chamber, like a not a hyperbaric chamber, but like a
I don't know where this is going,
frozen chamber.
Oh, you're talking about cryogenic.
Thank you is the word I'm looking for.
I liked hyperbolic chamber. That one's
hyperbolic chamber is good.
You just go in there and go, this is the best chamber ever.
I said hyperbaric, which is different.
Yes.
Anyway, a couple of guys who get stuck in a cryogenic chamber and wake up released like 30, 40 years later and have to figure out where they are and kind of a time travel-esque, even though there really isn't any time travel. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of he's the slower brother. He's the mentally handicapped brother.
Yeah. Always the slower brother.
He has that look about him. I think that's why he moved from acting into directing.
Easy to get typecast, for sure. I mean, he's been in other stuff you'd recognize him from. If you ever watched Chicago Hope, which was like the Deep Impact against ER at the time, they were basically kind of that Deep Impact Armageddon kind of problem. So that show didn't last as long, but it was actually really well done, and he was in that. I remember seeing him in things like Collateral. He directed Battleship, that piece of garbage from last year.
Okay, stop right there.
Go.
If you've seen two Peter Berg movies in the last 5 years, it's Hancock and Battleship.
I liked Hancock, all right. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Hancock written by Vince Gilligan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep, take that, internet.
I don't think Battleship was that bad.
I'll back tread a little bit on it. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, and I preferred it over all of the Transformers movies combined. And I'm not making that comparison because they kind of have the same kind of ridiculous attention.
Lots
of war porn, but it's not that bad. And I like it as well as
a Michael Bay movie.
No.
Right.
But you're right. It may as well have been. And he's been in a bunch of other stuff. 41 credits acting, so he's done plenty of work. Dude. Nice and busy.
The scene in Battleship where the main principals just assume command of the USS Missouri is amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. I watch that movie again right now just for that scene. All these old actual veterans standing around on that boat. Like, they just do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you just go to the USS Missouri right now in Pearl Harbor, they're just a bunch of old dudes with hats standing around on the boat.
Did we ever say what movie we're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the rundown.
I couldn't remember. And did Scott Fletcher send in something?
You want us to play that? Should we play that just to explain it more? Or should I talk about him directing The Kingdom between Hancock and Friday Night Lights?
How many movies have we mentioned even before the opening Fletcher? There's got to be some sort of measurement right there.
Probably. Have we broken the record? Someone will let us know. All right. Well, let's listen to what Fletcher has to say about The Rundown.
The Rundown. Looking to retire and open a restaurant, a bounty hunter named Beck gets roped into one final assignment, fetching his employer's errant son from the Amazon jungle. Along the way, Beck finds himself involved in a treasure hunt and a rebel uprising.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Beck played by The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, before he dropped The Rock from his name. Isn't it back now where it's the whole Dwayne The Rock Johnson again? Or how's he doing? How is he crediting himself now?
Did he drop it, or does it just they just kind of like want to distance him from it, or what?
Well, I think
just like a little.
I know he's gone back, so maybe that's the reason why I put it back in there, because he went back and he's done a few things with wrestling.
Oh, big time! Yeah, you look at his credits lately. He's been he did. I don't follow this stuff very closely, but I guess the WrestleMania where he threw his back out and had to get surgery. I guess that was some pretty intense business there. Like, that was him full on back in it.
In both Pain and Gain and Fast and Furious 6, that's right, The Rock has two movies out this year. he's just credited as Dwayne Johnson.
Okay, so no more Rock in the name. That's unfortunate because I like what he's cooking, if you want to put it that way.
I do too. I'd like to point out that you needed to play a trope alert in the middle of Fletcher's thing where he was like, where he says, you know, one last job, you know?
Oh, that deserves a scrub. There, yes. that's as good as you're going to get. So, the real quick on The Rock. I think this was the Schwarzenegger cameo. Excuse me. I think I may have dropped the N-word there by accident. Didn't mean to, but anyway. what was my point?
Schwarzenegger.
I think that's a torch pass. I think at the time it was. Now, that's what I want to get to, a more philosophical question here, because if that was a virtual torch pass of him saying, I was the action star of the 80s and 90s. Here's your chance. Here's the guy that I've chosen. Mm-hmm. The spiritual successor to the great action movies of yore, and here's the film we're going to do it in, and you're the guy I'm going to pass that torch to. If that's true, and there's a lot of people who say that is what everyone intended, director all the way down,
right?
Has The Rock lived up to that passing of the torch?
Recently, in my opinion.
Okay.
Only recently.
Really?
Like, I said he's got two movies out this year. Actually, I forgot about both G.I. Joe Retaliation and Empire State.
Oh, yeah.
Both which I don't. Huh?
Right, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, if you as you go backwards, before Fast Five, I guess he was in The Other Guys. I don't know. Like, he's making Tooth Fairy movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He, like, did a cameo at the beginning of The Other Guys.
He's doing kind of a parody of he's right. actually doing kind of the later year Schwarzenegger stuff. So maybe he's taking over that.
But right.
the last year
and looking forward, The Rock is on it. He's kicking ass.
Yeah.
He has definitely, he's definitely increased mass recently and in the last couple of years. But yeah, I think he kind of, he definitely stuttered a little bit before he got to any type of real good action films. This, to me, this performance was probably the best performance I've seen him put in ever.
Oh, I freaking love it.
Yeah, for me too. Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of The Rock. Just kind of the earlier stuff because I felt like it was kind of all the same, the babysitter and the tooth fairy and whatever else.
Yeah.
But this I really enjoyed, and I think I enjoyed it largely because of The Rock or Dwayne Johnson.
That's an odd thing they do in movies with these action stars, and you saw the same thing happen with XXX, what's his name?
Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm. He had that period where leading up to it, you were like, yeah, freaking Pitch Black, and now you got the other business, and then the XXX, and then let's make three movies designed for eight-year-olds.
Right.
And you're a big tough guy who's got to, you know, find a soft spot.
This is the guy who made A Man Apart, and if you've never seen A Man Apart, and you don't think Vin Diesel can actually act, you should watch the movie.
Right. I think it's weird when you ask if I've ever seen A Man Apart. It just sounds weird.
I've seen Man Part.
Yeah,
I think they should have come up with a better name for that movie. But like Vin Diesel is a serious actor, and I can prove it. There's the movie.
Yeah.
But man, apparently there's a lot of money in being a big dumb idiot.
Yeah.
There is way more money. It is witnessed by this film. This film cost $80 million and only raked in, you know, barely over that. And
should have made more. This is a great movie.
Exactly. Action films are expensive. Having Vin Diesel babysit a bunch of kids, very inexpensive and big return on investment. So
I guess so, but it does take a chunk out of your image, and it takes you in places where suddenly people aren't as quick to hire you. They'll just go, somebody get Jason Statham on the phone. He'll do it.
Right. He's bad A all the time.
Because I feel like those two, it's those two that are fighting this out for action for the aughts and the teens of this century, the early part of the century. I feel like it's those two who are kind of your choices for who's the badass action star. And I feel like Statham kind of lapped him a little bit. And it's unfortunate because I actually, when you watch this movie and I see it again, and I've seen this, I don't know, five times now, watch it again and I go, oh man, he is awesome. Like he is, and it's this role, like why somebody hasn't approached The Rock and said, hey, Dwayne Johnson, I got an idea for you. Come smell what I'm cooking. And he walked over and he says to him, look, why don't we make a series of films? Let's get you a franchise. And what you are in this franchise is a spy. But instead of all the typical tropey stuff, you're going to be this really nice guy who basically, I'm just basing this character on what he did
Jackie
in this movie.
Chan.
No, just this movie. Like you're going to ask nicely every time first. You really don't like violence. You'd prefer not to fight it out. But when the poo hits the fan, you're going to hit harder back and you're going to just lay waste to a nightclub full of football stars. Like that stuff is really fun to watch. And I would go for a whole series of movies based on him being that guy doing those things.
I was still playing the Hollywood Stock Exchange in 2003. And I'm here to tell you, this movie bombed really bad. Mm. Everybody playing the Hollywood Stock Exchange lost their shirt if they held this film. And there was a lot of talk before it came out that this was the beginning of a franchise. There was going to be a Rundown 2. You could plug in other different well-known actors all over the place, and off you go. But this movie didn't make it, so you don't get to have a sequel.
That depresses me because I think it was great. I think it holds up. I think some of that action stuff is freaking amazing. I mean, there's some pretty obvious wire work going on in the jungle fights.
Dude.
But
I would love to be able to see a behind the scenes on how they filmed the kicked table being sawed in half by a lasso.
That was awesome, man.
A whip.
It was awesome. Like, did you the, not? What, I mean, do you not come away from this movie going, yeah, you kind of did resurrect the spirit of Commando, Predator, all the best Schwarzenegger films. Like there is the, right. there has that taste and smell the entire time, but mm-hmm. then they add in some really awesome practical effects, some mm-hmm. pretty good digital stuff that's hard to tell. Well, some of it's a little aged, but for the most part, it's, I felt anyway, like some of this was a little bit ahead of its time, but then right. also 20 years previous, you know, was lifting things from it's like Rambo and Predator and all these things kind of mixed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
because, yeah. and because there's no reliance on technology throughout the whole film, really. I mean, it stays longer. I mean, this is more lasting as far as a film goes, right? There's not, this big computer virus that has to get launched into the atmosphere
this is right before smartphones. Like right. how easy would it have been making this film now to have him pull an iPhone out of his pocket? I'm looking this dude up. Who is this guy right. running all this stuff?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He'd probably get some decent LTE in that jungle by now. I don't know. But it's also very steeped in, like, you know, this is a little over the top. You get to Christopher Walken's like operation and they show that shot. Mm-hmm. of what he calls hell, which is basically mm-hmm. everybody working. I'm like, okay, is this Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom suddenly? Because it felt mm-hmm. ridiculous like that. I knew it was digital right. too, but even that, it's not like it was bad effects.
But it looked good.
It was just too big. You're like, yeah, right. Well, maybe you'd have ridiculous. A better suit on besides that pants up to your neck and your freaking stained shirt. Like some of that right. stuff just was like two-dimensional and stuff, but I didn't care. I don't care. I was into that and I had so much fun with it again, and there's some stunts where I still kind of shake my head in disbelief, like when he leaps forward in that fight around the fire and cracks that guy over the head with a lit branch.
It just blows up everywhere.
Awesome, dude.
Mm-hmm. That's the best scene.
And you talk about the Schwarzenegger bit, the cameo was filmed the same day he filmed his appearance as the Terminator for the Super Bowl. Nice. It was completely unprepared. He happened onto the set that day and was asked to make a quick appearance in the film. Fans and movie enthusiasts often cite his saying "Have fun, Dwayne Johnson" as a passing of the torch to an action hero of the next generation.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Maybe not so much.
I get a little tired of all those cameos. Like, you know, the first Expendables where they trot in Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. That lands on you a little sour. You're not a big fan of
it just does it. Like, what are you doing for me in the audience? You're doing nothing for me.
It was fun in 2003.
It was.
Sure. Less now, you think?
He was going to be the governor of California. We all knew that he might be going away from movies for a long time, might right. be missing out on the end of his prime in movies, which, sure. if you've seen The Last Stand, proves to be true.
Mm.
Yeah.
I heard it wasn't that bad. Is it bad?
It's pretty bad.
All right. I like the director.
Luis Guzman, good man.
Yeah, always, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This movie actually did okay critically. I mean, it, you know, 70s. For like in the 70s, rainy to have 100.
Yeah, critically, people thought it was fun and it was a great throwback and all that. I don't understand where audiences' heads were at in 03. Were they too busy watching The Core? I mean, what was going on? Seriously, like, what was the action? Let's ask this question because we're getting far enough away. I mean, it's 10 years ago. So we're getting far enough away from that time. What was the taste of American, speaking specifically of the U.S. market, what was the taste of action moviegoers then?
Let me tell you this. Stifler. Yeah. Stifler yep. and Wrestler. That's what you saw in 2015. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Stifler's mom and Wrestler's mom.
Walken was already, you know, a joke. Like, he was a caricature of himself by then. Yeah. So he, you know, nobody took him seriously.
Right.
Nobody took this seriously. And it was released on September the 28th in 03, which, as you, this is kind of that time of year right now, you know, it's box office dregs. There, you don't release a film that you're going to get a huge audience to when football season, school, autumn, everything is all spinning up.
I have a theory that I don't know if this holds, so I'm just going to spit it out like yesterday's beef. Okay, so here it is. So I think that there is something to be said about the idea that this is only 2 years after 9/11, right. and the tastes of moviegoers and movie makers shifted pretty dramatically after that event. So you didn't get your cartoon. What's the Schwarzenegger movie? True Lies. You don't get that version of a terrorist anymore. Now that's taken much more seriously. It's not this goofy idea that never seems to come to American shores. Now it's all very harsh and real. So the movies kind of change, but more importantly, movie tastes sort of change. So we're 2 years later. It's still kind of raw. We're still just getting into a major conflict in Iraq. All this stuff is going on. This movie comes out in September. Already a rough month by all the things Randy said. Those are all true still. Plus, add on top of it, it's 2 years after 9/11.
And this
movie doesn't take terror or people who inflict terror on people, genocide, slave labor, human trafficking. None of that stuff is serious in this movie. It's all goofy, over the top, and walking as a cartoon, like you said. And I think people's taste had shifted to where that felt distasteful to them, and it would have worked better 4 or 5 years later. That's my theory.
Interesting. I think, I don't know. It's an interesting question, but yeah, I still stand by the, I just don't think anybody, even I was kind of like, wow, I didn't know The Rock was so good.
Yeah, right. And you're looking at this after the popularity of The Rock as a wrestler. You're looking at this after Stifler. Sean William Scott has been in what, however, 7 American Pie films by this point.
Sure. I saw one where it was Stifler's brother, by the way.
I was going to say, isn't there one that's just Sean William Scott and Eugene Levy sitting in a room for 2 hours?
Probably, dude. That'd be great. Okay, so let's shift to him for a second. I don't remember this at the time, but I actually think he hurts everything. I feel like it's not as good with him in it. And I don't mind him. I think he's fine.
Right.
It's not like I have a problem with him, but I think his character was too much of trying to be Charles Grodin to
De Niro
in that Midnight Run, which is, speaking of a great movie. Oh my gosh.
So good. Yeah.
Does that hold up? Have you seen it lately?
It's hard. I haven't seen it in probably about 10 years, but it's hard not to think about that movie when you watch this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So I agree with you, Scott. Mm. I think Stifler ruins everything he's in to a degree. Seriously, except when he's only a voice. The Ice Age movies, he's fine.
Yeah. Oh, he's in those? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. But
I've only seen the first one. I didn't ever see any more of those.
He's the squirrel. Didn't know that.
Oh, he is? Shut up.
Yeah. No. Seriously, that's true.
He's the squirrel?
He's Crash in the Ice Age movie.
Oh, wait, Crash isn't the squirrel. Who's Crash?
Oh, not
Scrat.
No, I was talking about.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the rat, the prehistoric rat named Scrat.
No. That thing just squeaks.
That was the joke.
Would be awesome if that's Dunaway.
Yeah, Dunaway. Good one, Dunaway. I got it. So, yeah, he's kind of annoying, and I don't feel like all these comments are things that push him toward rehab, which he just got out of. But anyway,
Oh, really?
I don't want to pile on to the poor guy, but I feel like it was a mistake to have this weird hybrid, like, PhD, candidate.
Right. So
that was dumb. And then the Indiana Jones part was like, oh, he's the only one that's freaking, the place is falling apart. He knows what sticks to move and all that. That's all fine, I guess. But I just feel like the mishmash of that, plus he's kind of a dick, all kind of added up to be like, you're just annoying me. And all this pee stuff was funnier when The Rock was talking and not you.
Okay. Then if we're not going with Sean, then who are we going to go with? 2003.
Yeah, you can't take knowledge back in time. Like, now that you know that Justin Timberlake can act, he would have been better.
He would have been. I feel like if somebody would have played
it. We're saying The Rock, you know.
It needs to be
somebody big personality. I think Justin Timberlake is a chameleon for any role he plays. He absorbs into that role.
All right, I got it. Paul Walker.
Paul Walker. I could have done that. Mm. Totally could have gone Paul Walker. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Ryan Reynolds would have been really fun.
No.
He would have been fine. He would have been fine. Two girls in a pizza place. Come on.
I'm going to say only if they were making out. No.
It wasn't two girls in a pizza place, was it? It was two guys, a girl in a pizza place.
Yeah. Like I said, I had no idea in 2003, but Ashton Kutcher would have been awesome in that role.
He might have been all right. That would have been more of a straight across. Oh, they were both in Dude, Where's My Car, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. That's why I brought him up.
An American classic, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Jason Lee.
I could have gone for Earl. He would have been
smarmy. Yeah.
He would have been great. He's a little, maybe a tad old for the role, but whatever. I would have gone with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, there are other casting choices you could have made. But
and nowadays, that this exact same character and portrayal is Aaron Paul in Breaking Bad.
Aaron Paul would be awesome.
And he's, I guess he would have been a little young, but why not? You know?
I got the gold statue, bitch.
The Gatto.
We're in the Gatto business, bitch. Exactly. That would have worked fine. So if they're going to get back into it, He's a fine choice, but whatever. Forget about him. His scenes made it seem longer than it needed to be. Mm-hmm. When they got to the business at hand, which was, oh, could you have hired John? Is it John Cryer? No. Sorry, I forget his name. Anyway, Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Could he have been better cast as freaking Bandage good, Face? He was great.
Right?
He's a good call on this. What's his face? His dad in Lost.
I can't think of his name.
Ben Linus.
Right.
Ben Linus. Yeah.
I can't think of that guy's name though. Something Cryer.
Bill the actor?
Greer. Yeah. I forget his name.
Isn't it? Is it Ernie? No.
Ernie Hudson. No.
John Grease.
John Grease. That's it. John Grease. Cryer. Where the hell did I get Cryer from? Anyway, he's great. He's always good. Mm. In fact, maybe my favorite role that I've ever seen him in. I like the whip dudes. Again, these are like when your henchmen have special powers, basically. That's when you know you're in 80s action territory.
Holy cow. Right? That was Uncle Rico?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I would have never. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have to go watch the rundown again.
Yeah. No, he's great in it. He's great in it. When he's yelling with that big old cross bandage over his face.
Yes, right.
Like to covered me, that's his entire nose. To me, that's his uniform. He's like a supervillain, and that's his thing he wears.
I need to go pause the television and get out a Sharpie and draw a mustache on him and see what I see.
I read something, or maybe it was in the extras, but I guess when he was filming Dynamite, because they were always eating steak and drinking milk.
Yeah.
Right.
He's a vegetarian,
he's
right?
He's a hardcore vegetarian. So he would be in there eating that, and they said after every time the camera would cut, he would just hork that into a can as fast as he could and rinse his mouth out with something harsh because he couldn't deal with it. But he's a really interesting guy.
With organic apple juice.
I want to say he's in that locally filmed that Unicorn City movie as well.
Yeah, he's listed.
I had no idea the whip-wielding heavy in this movie.
No, not him. You're thinking of a different dude. Whip-wielding guy, not Rico. Rico is a guy that was like second in command and had the bandage on his face, the big white bandage.
He was the guy that walked in, told to take Elgato and Rosario Dawson to the airport.
I still have no idea. So there.
It's the guy with the nose brace on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he's the one. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you look at pictures of John Cryer, Rundaniel, or John Cryer, whatever it is, John Grease.
John Grease.
Don't look up John Cryer. He's not in the rundown. He's not.
There's some people that expand to a greater part of a movie than their part, and there's some people that contract, and he's kind of contracted. And the person that really, really expanded for me is Declan, the pilot. Yeah.
Oh, he's great. That guy, he's one of the dudes from Transpotting.
I was wondering if that was him. Okay, yeah.
I was getting that Armageddon vibe though when he was doing his voiceover kind of stuff though. I don't know why.
Oh, he's great.
He's the guy who craps the bed.
Yeah. Right. Yes. He's the one that shat the bed. Absolutely. He's not the one that swam in a toilet to find a freaking suppository heroin patch. That was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right, exactly.
But here's the thing that I noticed. So I'm doing a little digging around. I'm like, okay, I've seen him somewhere else very specifically around the same time, and it was bugging me, and it was Black Hawk Down. He plays the soldier whose hearing is kind of temporarily lost or maybe even permanently. And what's interesting about that is then I went down this rabbit hole of like, why are there so many shared resources in Black Hawk Down that they're the same resources used, same people are tapped for Trainspotting and half the other stuff that director made? I don't know why they're all in that Black Hawk Down movie. You've got Orlando Bloom's not in those other ones, but he's a weird pick. You got Ewan McGregor again. You got this guy again, like all these Scottish, really weirded accented dudes playing American soldiers in this very hard hitting
American,
you know, Ridley Scott movie about the whole Mogadishu thing. That by the way, just a side note, what an awesome effing movie Black Hawk Down is. And it's still good. I saw it recently. It's one of my favorite things ever. What a great freaking movie that is. But it's weird.
See it again for sure.
Keep that in mind.
It's weird. Have you not ever seen, has anyone not seen Black Hawk Down?
I've seen it.
Oh,
great movie.
I saw it the one time.
It's got some beef.
The one time.
It was at a time when I don't feel like cameras were ready for handy cam work. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming out of it going, whoa, someday I'm going to see Cloverfield and puke. Like,
right.
So I've never watched it again, but I'm sure now I could sit back.
Yeah, and get
television.
It on a TV, sure. And it's the soundtrack's amazing. Tom Sizemore plays the exact same character he played in Saving Ryan's Private. It's exactly the same guy. Or Saving Private Ryan. I always say that wrong. I used to say it as a joke. Now I just do it automatically. Right.
Exactly. It's hard not to make the joke once you
once you see it, you can't get rid of it. It's like the arrow on the FedEx truck. It's just in your head.
So we there's two people we haven't mentioned yet that I feel like are really good in this movie, and one is Rosario Dawson.
Mm-hmm. Right. She's all right.
She's
good in everything.
Her teeth are too clean for this, though. A little too clean.
Oh, my God.
No, you know what? It's just one of my things with movies. Like, they went out of their way to make all those other village people look like the dirtiest teeth you've ever seen. They're all rotting. They're green. They're black. Everybody else in that place had terrible teeth, but Rosario Dawson.
Well, because
she's a leader with time for personal hygiene. I buy it completely.
Okay, sure.
Bartender, rebel leader, and hygienist.
But all that said, that being said, this isn't me being. I don't mean any of this as a pejorative. I think she's beautiful. She's gorgeous and always has been.
I just think she's a good actor. Like, even. Even in dumb spots, like her performance in Clerks 2, I thought was really good.
Yeah, she was good in that. She was the girl, although I never bought that she'd be with what's his name, right. Not Randall, the other guy. No way.
I liked her best in Men in Black 2.
Wait, Men in Black 2 is terrible. What are you talking about? That movie sucks. That movie is so bad. The second Men in Black. Do you not agree there, Dunaway?
Come on.
So bad.
He flushes. They get flushed.
No. I'm with you. It's that I cannot grade the entire movie on the flush scene. I can't do it. The rest of that movie is terrible.
And get Biz Markie in the post office.
Right.
I mean, there's good moments.
Yeah, but there.
I could not remember. I know I saw Men in Black 2. I could not tell you a thing about it.
I think Ted Danson and I think his movie A Fine Mess had a couple of good moments in it. But the rest of it was shite, and that's how I feel about Men in Black 2. All right, anyway, sorry, don't want to go down that hole.
The other person I wanted to point out is William Lucking, the white heavy back at home, Sean William Scott's father.
Mm. Oh, right. He's in a lot of things, isn't he?
I have never seen an episode of Sons of Anarchy, and I know he's in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, wow. Really?
Never seen either.
That's how famous he is.
He's just his voice, his presence, the look on his face. Like, I will open my mouth and flamethrow you to death. Like that, he's just, I really like that guy.
Tell me, just, I'm sorry, you mentioned it in passing, and for whatever reason I didn't stop you, but I meant to ask you, what of Empire State? Is that good? That movie,
yeah,
Empire State?
I don't know. Is it the TV show you
No,
mean?
No, no. It's a movie with Liam Hemsworth, Thor's brother, not Loki, the other one. Emma Roberts.
Not Loki, the other one.
Emma Roberts is in that, and then Dwayne Johnson, who is also here, known as The Rock. So, and it's based on some true story, and it's supposed to be really kind of cool and stuff. And I guess no one's seen this.
No. As a matter of fact, this might be the first I've heard of it. I'm looking at the IMDb page right now. And
he looks like a badass in that. Just look at him.
Like a badass, because he's wearing sunglasses and the other two guys aren't. It's clearly a cloudy day behind them.
And let me get soft for a second. I'm going to get a little soft. You ready for this? Uh-oh. Previous to this, I was erect. Now I'm going to get soft and I'm going to say this.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding.
Thanks for spelling that completely out when it really didn't need to be.
All right, fine. I want to say this about Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Uh-huh. Right.
This is what I wish more Hollywood people were like. I think that, best I can tell, through whatever limited lens I have, he's as nice a guy as you think he is. He's constantly doing charity work. He is constantly Mr. Mm-hmm. Motivation. He is constantly doing really nice things for his mom, who raised him in a car and they had no house. Like, really, really, I think he is one of those dudes. He's like Joseph Gordon-Levitt kicking the old what happens to child actors. He's like other, you know, whatever. These people that aim for something, they go for it, they work really hard, and they get what they worked hard for, and they're not a dick afterwards. And I really like that. So even if it's fake and I have no idea and it's all made up, I still admire it from afar, and he's one of those guys for me.
Can we talk about the poster for Empire State for just a second?
Ooh, yeah, I'm not soft anymore now. Go ahead.
I just want to answer the question, too. Empire State was straight to DVD, which actually DVDs are still a thing. I don't know if you knew that.
Straight to DVD, really?
Yeah, and it came out on DVD 3 weeks ago.
What?
Right, and if you look at the poster, you'll notice that it's they list all the names oddly. They don't put them on top of the actors. What is that all about?
Yeah. Oh yeah, look at that. Christopher Walken's over The Rock. Rosario Dawson is hovering over Stifler.
That's now you're talking about Rundown.
Yeah, sorry.
They do the same thing on Empire State.
I guess he requires it. No,
it's in my contract.
I want to guess which one is me.
You have to put my name above somebody younger than me.
Hold on. Empire State, 2013. And did they even get reviewed and stuff? No score yet. You're right. Direct-to-DVD.
Direct-to-DVD.
Well, that must be bad then.
No, not necessarily bad. Just maybe he did a favor.
I don't mean it's not good. I just mean... It didn't get the kind of... obviously, somebody made a decision and said, well,
right.
We know...
This is not going to the theater.
Yeah, right. And that makes me sad because that means The Rock is going to need vehicles like Fast Five stuff to even get out there, you know, without... I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Even on the rating is meh because it's a 5 out of 10. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we don't know. Meh.
Which is what I thought they would do if you didn't... If nobody rated a movie... I thought they'd put it right at 5, like right in the middle. So, right. The index, and you just move left or right from there.
Right.
Maybe no one has reviewed it. Well, it is a 5.
It's a decent point.
Yeah, it's not available on Netflix as a streaming. It's available for Blu-ray, but not as a streaming, unfortunately.
Can any of you name a direct-to-video film that you think is good?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question.
That's an unfair.
It's
documentaries are pretty good usually.
No, I
Bells
mean
don't count. Like I mean, okay, I'll, I thought that this it's a Disney thing.
Jafar's Revenge.
That's it's like that. Oh no, I know movie? What it was. It was Mulan 2. I thought was okay.
Oh wow, no, really? No,
it was okay. I'm no, not saying it was great.
I've now seen that about 10 times in the last few months, and it's not because they didn't get Eddie Murphy.
Why, Randy?
Oh, that's right. They had a Murphy sound alike.
And it's
right.
A white guy who's pretending to sound like Eddie Murphy. It's horrible.
How dare they? How dare they? I'm trying to
find, see if
lines.
I can find a directed DVD.
Right. I am. I'm looking
list.
At, I'm looking at a one right now is $1 million movies that went straight to DVD. Let's see. There's Empire State is actually like the first one.
Is it really?
Yeah. I'm going to send this awesome. Link to our Twitter.
The reason I ask is because when we brought it up, I thought of one and only one movie. Like this one movie popped in my head that I remember was direct to DVD and I enjoyed it. And I've never, I don't have another. I can't name another movie that was direct to DVD that's worth anything.
Oh, Special. Remember Special?
Wow.
Do you guys remember the Michael Rapaport movie Special?
No.
Okay, that was supposed to go to theaters. It got pulled last second. It was a drama, and it was all about Michael Rapaport looking for direction in his life. Anyway, he kind of gets all paranoid, schizophrenic, and he believes he's some kind of superhero, and he starts to act on that and do things that heroes would do, and you're never really sure if he's succeeding because you're seeing it through his eyes. It's actually really good.
Like
but
Unbreakable?
Sort of, but not. It's kind of psycho and weird and dark, and I can see why they thought this might not do well in theaters, but this almost doesn't count because I feel like it's like a little independent film that would have shown well in IHC or IFC? IHC?
IFC.
What the hell is IHC? Oh, International Health something.
International Haters something. Yeah.
But that was good. So if they're counting stuff, like, I guess you can count whatever you count. Like, do you guys see Frozen? Oh. Remember Frozen where they're like stuck to that?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
That was actually pretty good. Remember Buying the Cow? Remember that?
Yeah.
Nope. No.
I don't remember. I'm looking right now through this whole list.
Rom-com?
I'm already 11 through here, and I have not seen any of these.
I haven't seen – Bring It On has a tradition, apparently. It's the most recent series that just goes straight to DVD because there's quite
Darwin
a few
Awards.
Of those.
How about
Darwin Awards I saw, and that's a straight to DVD.
How about Hobo with a Shotgun? That was
Has anybody seen that?
No, not yet. People keep telling us we should do it for this show.
What do you? Hmm. There needs to be a term for stunt titling when you title a movie in a way
like
that
snakes on a plane kind of thing,
right?
Universal Soldier Regeneration can't be good. I don't know why it's on this list.
I think I actually did see that.
Good Dick. Something called Good Dick.
Y'all
want to see Good Dick?
Anyway. We just need
no.
To
you know, this movie had an alternate title as well. Welcome to the Jungle. The Rundown was also
seriously
known as
but it was also for a while called El Dorado, which is also the sign of the thing.
Oh,
man,
horrible.
they would have totally made more money if they had called it that.
I think it's better than Rundown. The Rundown's a great name. It has a great vibe. It's got a great energy. I really don't have very many bad things to say about this movie. I really only have one problem, and that is I just felt like this Sean William Scott scenes were a little stalled. Other than that.
Oh my God! Are you guys? Do you guys see this Tiptoes? in our little list of things?
No.
Is that Matthew McConaughey that is...
I want it like, to be. Is that good enough?
No legs? What is that?
Hold on.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's the one that's... Oh, that's... I totally remember this. This is the one where Gary Oldman plays a midget. Or, I'm sorry, plays a little person.
That's it. Can you edit that out?
No, I'm keeping it in.
He plays a wee man.
No, I haven't seen that. I don't
know what that is. That's the one I'm thinking of.
That looks... Now, this looks good. Now, this looks like something I want to see because it's got Peter Dinkle.
Dinklage.
All right, so that's helping make my thing look a little better.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, one last one I just noticed, and I'm totally behind this one, and I just pull it up here. It is the 2008 movie, I swore this went in theaters, but I guess it didn't. This was Tom Hardy in the movie Bronson. That is an awesome freaking film. Holy poo, it scared me too. It was based on this real dude and some serial killer guy that worked out a lot. In prison.
I want to watch some of these bad movies.
Oh, it's fantastic. Bronson's great. So maybe the stereotype holds that most of these are garbage, but I think there's a few diamonds in the rough in there.
Brian, we're watching bad movies every week. Just hold on.
Yeah, hang on your butts.
Get to it, yeah.
No, this movie was pretty decent. I mean, you know.
Guess how many people you think died in this, quick, before looking it up. How many people died in the rundown, and I'll tell you if you're right.
Only one, Christopher Walken.
Nope, 32 total people died.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good body count for
a PG-13. For reals?
Yeah. Also, didn't remember this was PG-13. Thought
you
it was all right.
If you get hit in the face with a burning log?
Yes. I mean, you want to die. I don't know.
Otherwise, you sit there and you eat food around the campfire like a few minutes later.
And you said, what happened to you?
I got hit in the face with a burning log. It really hurt like a mother.
Dwayne.
She vouches for him, so we're all good. Let's
eat. It's fine. Dwayne Johnson's body double, by the way, played by his cousin.
I thought it was his brother.
Cousin is what this
You're
says. Who knows?
Diesel.
He broke his ankle in the scene where Beck and Travis are tumbling down the hillside, which, by the way,
we're
amazing. That is some amazing stunt work, I thought.
Yeah.
Were you guys kind of hoping for a rock into Sean Crotch?
Yes.
Oh, kind of like the Romancing of the Stone.
Right. I was totally expecting that. Yeah. They didn't give it to me, though.
Yeah, but they did have Jeep is slower than us. So now that we're down here, look out.
Yeah, how do you do that, by the way? How do you accelerate your fall so you can come up and go, okay, we're having a very furious discussion right now. Oh, here comes the Jeep.
Yeah.
It hit a few trees on the way down. It's bigger, so it got caught up in more of the trees that the rock was bouncing off of.
It hit a few of the wrong monkeys.
Yeah.
Can I have a trope alert? Oh my God.
Yeah, hold on. This is a good one.
You're making a film. We got the wrong monkeys. Well, they're supposed to be monkeys, so let's just use them.
Have you ever seen what kind of monkeys would they really have had if they had have done? Have you ever seen any South American monkeys?
They would have had New World monkeys. They would have had South American monkeys if they wanted to be accurate.
But they wouldn't be cool looking. It wouldn't be nearly as intimidating.
Not nearly as intense, yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I feel like, though, this is like, you know, doctors watching ER and feeling good about it.
If you're going to make a movie in Brazil, like let's just say you're filming in Hawaii, but you're saying this is set in Brazil. Right. Just your next thought, is it going to be, we should get a macaque from Japan?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe. What they probably brought the stupid Brazilian monkeys in and they said, that's not going to work. I mean, the rock is way bigger than these little monkeys.
Yeah, I guess.
We lost five of them. Let's just go get some.
One was a pretty bad puppet monkey at the beginning when the one that yelled at him. Yeah. That was pretty
bad.
And
for some reason, they made it look like a baboon instead of any New World monkey. Could have worked.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. But that's just a general thing. If you're in the jungle, there will be angry monkies there to deal with, to contend with.
And if it's a tropey movie, there'll be the wrong monkey.
Right. And also, I like your emphasis on cack when you said macaque.
Macaque.
Yeah, I like that. Macaque.
Macaque.
It sounds like a movie snatch talking about somebody's crotch is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I love the pants up to the chest. I mentioned that earlier. It's fantastic. Yeah. You know, and Walking looked like he could give three shits to the wind for that. He could care less. Check me out. Sure. Hey, Walking, you sure you want to have your pants up to your chest? And he probably just looked at that guy and walked away. Who cares?
This was definitely
this at home. Right.
This was definitely when Walking just no longer cared.
It was in my rider. That's not his voice.
That was weird. Don't do that again.
I'm not going to ever do that again. It's like,
that was definitely the wrong monkey.
Freaking Deckard Cain took over my my voice. This basically looked like a Far Cry movie to me, like the attempt of Far Cry games to create that jungle thing where you're fighting dudes in tan uniforms. Like all that stuff was. I've just played a bunch of Far Cry 3, and I feel like I was there.
I agree with
probably
you.
A better Far Cry movie than the Far Cry movie.
They did. I'll tell you, man, the practical effects were great, but I'll tell you, even the computer generator effects were pretty darn good.
Pick them out, because there were a couple I noticed that but some
like when
good.
They when some of the pullbacks when they would be in the jungle and they would pull back all the way to the to sky level and they would come back down. You know, those were all with 3D generated.
Yeah, it looked like early 360 games or something.
But it did good. It didn't look bad.
Yeah, it was fine.
See, I felt like the distant shot of the mines was horrible.
Oh, I actually liked it. It felt like Lord of the Rings kind of.
Well, that was why I think
Mines of Moria kind of thing.
That's why it was kind of a problem for me. It just was too big and crazy. Like, that's not a thing you would have. You wouldn't have that. That was just too much.
Yeah, it didn't work for me.
Bridge too far.
It worked for me because it was the first. It was. I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was good. I can't really explain it. I mean, I'm in a movie. I'm watching The Rock do insanely crazy moves and constantly being flipped. You know that little spin thing he does in the air?
Yep.
They use that thing like about 20
they
times.
Loved that. I guess you wrap a rope around someone and then you
fall.
You like roll them off of a ramp and the rope makes them twist.
I just imagine
around.
Rock going.
Yeah.
Right. I liked all those stunts. I don't have anything bad to say about any of them. When he's leaping around and kicking two dudes and cocking guns with his hips and that stuff, great.
That was cocking the gun when different ways that he was cocking the double-handed shotguns.
I could have done without the Indiana Jones moment though. That whole going into the mine and
See, I didn't mind that. I mean, it.
Maybe I'm too fresh. I'm too fresh off of. Tomb Raider.
Crystal Skull? Oh, yeah. Tomb Raider?
Yeah, just was like yesterday? Yeah, totally. What would you say?
Sorry, but I interrupted you.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I think it added an extra little level. The adventure stuff, the Indiana Jones stuff. Yeah. You get your commando movie, you get your hunting, you know, your fugitive kind of movie where they're running from the other guys, basically.
Yeah.
And then you've got your Indiana Jones adventure. I didn't mind it. Yeah. I feel like... Well, never mind. I'm saving it for my Twitter.
Oh yeah,
post.
Don't blow it now. That's a pretty good. It's a decent mashup, but there's one thing that jumped out at me, and I haven't been able to get it out of my head since. And I wish I really could. I wish I could scrub that part of my brain. Stifler, the actor Sean William Scott, dude has a full-on tramp stamp,
and he
showed it off in this when he fell out of a tree or something. And it's not just he's got a tattoo on his back. No, dude, it's like one of those weird like frilly pointing to your ass things.
No way, really?
Yes. Yes, in fact, I'll bet we can find it.
I'm looking it up right now. Hold
Sean
on.
William Scott tattoo.
Tramp stamp.
Tramp stamp. It's got to, it has to be out here. They're here.
Whoa. I would love if that was just like a temp or something just for this movie.
An image search does not yield all that I needed.
No.
A
lot of tramp stamps, but no Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
Here's a woman who has a Sean William Scott face for a tramp stamp.
Oh, no.
That is what Google image search is for right there.
Wow.
Thanks, Google.
Yeah. Well, why is Aragorn on here? Well, anyway, once again.
You know, Sean William Scott kind of, he was everybody. Okay, this movie made me want to work out really bad because everybody was in such darn good shape.
Yeah. Everybody was ripped.
Right?
Yeah. Well. Except for, do you just Christopher walking in and just say, here, stand here and look dirty for a minute and then leave while everyone else
pants
works
up.
Out.
Let's go.
Yeah. Because everybody, even Uncle Rico looked pretty tough.
Right.
I'm really shocked at how few tropes we've touched on so far because like it's a,
give me one.
It's a cop going to capture somebody maybe. Right. And we talked about how it's his one last job. Right.
Right.
But like, the whole movie is just dripping in the guy he captures acts like he wants to be captured. Then, of course, he fights back because he doesn't really want to be captured. Then the tables get turned, and suddenly the guy who got captured is actually the one who's in control, and the one doing the capturing is tied up to a tree. And like, there's so many of these tropes, I can't even think of names for all of them. But the one that really sticks out to me is the rule I will never break. I am a badass with a rule, the Batman rule, right?
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.
And of course,
no guns. It was no guns, right?
The minute you hear that, you're like, by the end of this movie, he is going to be coming out of an arsenal carrying three or five weapons.
Mm-hmm. He's going to fire a shotgun at one point where it's two shotguns in the same hand. He's going to fire that and take four guys off the top of a roof, which he did. And I was filled with glee.
I felt more like it was the threat. I felt like Randy felt more like it was that trope. I felt more like it was the threat. It's like, okay, this is going to happen eventually. On purpose.
What,
I don't think it was
with the guns.
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah. Once you know he has an aversion to guns, you know it's even going to be the final battle. Like, he's going to have to pull.
Right.
Out.
It's like the Hulk. It's like going, you don't make me angry. I mean, come on. Right. You know. Eventually,
we paid to see you get angry. Come on.
He's going to Hulk out eventually. Yeah, right.
The rule I will not break. If somebody ever says there's just one thing. Yeah. You know, that's the thing they're going to end up doing at the end of the movie.
Don't get Mugwai wet. There's a good one.
Right, exactly.
But that comes with a free Frogurt. What's another one like that? I love that in movies, actually, because they're so projected. It's just ridiculously stupid. Like,
right.
Even like Superman, you could say, don't take your glasses off.
Well,
eventually you're going to do that.
I'm never going to reveal my secret identity to Lois Lane. There we go.
Hello. Niagara Falls, baby. Sorry.
Yeah. Now, this is 2003. I'm trying to remember if this was like the beginning of the hyper sense shots where the Rock is super sensitive to the cocking of a gun, and they'll zoom in on it and they'll show like the.
Oh, I do like that. Yeah, like the little quick cuts that say he's looking at the bullets and figuring out what kind they are. And
sure.
Right.
More common now. It's hard to say whether this started that or was part of another larger trend, but I feel like it was right around then that you'd start to see more of that.
Right.
But it's all connected to the underestimating the badass trope.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The underestimating the badass trope. He gives you two options all the time. No one ever takes the first one, but in reality, you'd start taking the first option.
Oh,
after enough people get their asses kicked.
Yeah. Well, all I know is
maybe he ought to flip them. Maybe he ought to give the bad option first.
Here's the bad option.
I make you do this, and then this, and then this, and this. Or option B is you come to yourself.
Yeah.
I was just by default going to choose the last option.
Sure.
Right.
I just admire the Scottish guy for not having fear of anything. He's afraid of nothing. He's going to fly a plane that looks like it shouldn't be airworthy. He's going to do that all the time. He's going to pick fights with the Rock and throw water at him and act like he could beat him if there was a fight. And then he goes to a gun shoot thing, pronounces a bunch of weird jumbly gook scripture on a chair and plays a thing in front of all these killers.
Plays the thing.
The bagpipe. And then sits there and just pontificates during the battle as if nothing's wrong. Like that guy, if you want to ask who I admire and who I think has the most guts, it's him. Screw the Rock. It's that guy.
That's that guy.
Afraid of nothing.
Ooh. I loved him. Yeah. I thought he was fantastic.
He was great. I have some clips of him coming up.
I'll say that this opening fight scene, the opening scene is just
it's great.
Phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, it is just incredible.
The one in the club you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
To be a 10-year-old fight scene, it still looks good.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I love the little animated bits. You know, him kind of sizing up the opposition like they would do on NFL Today. Like,
oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was giggling when he gets on the phone with his boss and he's trying to talk his way out of having to kick the asses of every football player in there because he
likes their chances this year. That was great. See, and that's great because there's this weird innocence about him. He could destroy everybody, but really he just wants to cook, own a restaurant, and he's into football. Like, that's great. Oh, man, what a stud. All right, more Rock, please. Hollywood, I could do with more. It's that rule I have. Again, if he's in it, I'll watch it, or I'm more likely to care if the Rock is in it. Him and Statham. And now the fact that you got him both in these Fast Five movies, or Fast whatever the hell we're on now, Seven.
Seven's the next one. Wow.
Yeah. I by the way, I took some of your advice, Randy, and I rejected some of it. So you said because the last Fast
I said
movie,
five and six.
The last Fast movie I saw was Tokyo Drift, which I really liked, by the way.
That was three.
That was third. And then after three came what?
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Too Fast, Too Furious, which I didn't see. And I'm told I'm fine with not seeing that one.
Yeah, then you just need to watch five and six.
So I'm going to watch Fast Five. Fast 6 and 7 when it comes out.
All right.
And I'm going to do it like back-to-back business. So when that one comes out, 7 comes out, I'm going to hork down the other two and then go to the theater and see it with my wife. I am.
Hork them down.
I'm looking forward to it because what that thing has become is so badass. And I don't mean that it's good. I mean that it is even a series, that thing's still going on. And they keep adding these people to the roster. It's like, holy shit, Jason Statham's here. You know what, Stallone? Go back. Go home. You're drunk. You can't do it with your Expendables. these are better. This is a better way to drag out your movie heroes of the day. And I think it's fantastic. So I'm all into that. All right, let's do some clips.
All right.
Screw the rest of this business. By the way, I want to play Scott Fletcher real quick. He sent in, you know, the intro that we got. And then he also sent in one where he screwed up. And it's my favorite maybe he's ever sent us because it's short and it's sweet and you can hear him falling apart at the end. So I want you to hear this 5-second clip right here.
Looking to retire and open a restaurant, a bounty hunter named Shit.
You can see the look on his face. It's fantastic.
Can you smell what the shit is cooking?
Hope not. All right, here is something about bets and throws and things.
Throws like Brett Favre. Bets like Pete Rose.
Oh, do you have to kick the guy again? Oh, Keep kicking Pete Rose. Come on.
Poor Pete Rose.
I watched the extra innings of Ken Burns baseball, and he was all up in that, and it was really fascinating to see that story told in that way. They also had all the Curt Schilling stuff in those extra innings. It was crazy.
The
sad thing is Pete Rose didn't bet a lot. He just bet very noticeably on the wrong thing.
Right.
Yeah, and one of the greatest players of all time. Like could do anything, came off the bench when he was very old and did great things.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Like, man, it's just so sad that he just continuously gets beat up for.
And it's always that argument of like, what is the moral, you know, the moral fortitude that said, wait, you bet, sorry, you're out, versus what,
right,
you all use steroids?
Sammy Sosa comes out with a bat filled with cork.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah, we'll let that one pass.
You'll be in the Hall of Fame next year.
Steroids and, A-Rod's recent business.
Yeah, none of that's going to keep him, none of that's going to ban him from baseball. It may affect his chances when votes are in for Hall of Fame, or not Hall of Fame. Yeah, Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Yeah, baseball Hall of Fame.
If you haven't seen this movie before, it does start out a completely different movie. You really don't know where in the world it's going, but you start guessing that it's going to have something to do with.
You just know you'll like it.
And you know, they could have easily done like this. This could have set up a Dwayne Johnson franchise, you know, the Beck franchise. Mm-hmm. If they wouldn't have set it up as one last job, this could have easily been like, all right, you know, let's launch a 3-movie situation with him as a bounty hunter going in all these situations. Cause I liked his character at the beginning too. In that, in that separate scene.
I want to see a movie called The 3-Movie Situation. I like
that. Hey, we're doing 4 rooms next time, so it's kind of like that.
Crazy thing. This is all 2003 is also the year Dog the Bounty Hunter premiered on TV.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of that show for a while.
At the beginning. Yeah, at the beginning. Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, his wife had a fup, we used to call it.
I could never watch that.
She had a front butt. Let's see. Let the Rock get what he wants.
I want out. I want a new life. I want my money, and I want it now.
I wouldn't turn him down.
No, too sexy for my.
He's a great big Polynesian guy. Will murder me if I don't do it.
He sounds like a toddler, though. I want. I want. I want. Calm down.
All right. Well, let's balance it out with some angry acting from the old man.
You want to be sarcastic? You do it to your monkey friends. You do not do it to me. Do you understand?
Good Lord.
I love that. That was like, you do it to your monkey friends.
It was a racist or something there. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means either.
Your monkey friends.
Not very nice.
Talk about bodybuilders.
Yeah.
Was that also like foreshadowing?
Oh, yes, see those monkey friends. I see the ones with the
they
pink
didn't
butts.
Like sarcasm early either. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. All right. Here's, what's this? Christopher Walken talking.
How do you know my name?
When a man of your dimensions travels all this way to visit a place like this, it arouses the curiosity. What can I do for you?
He is so doing an impression of himself.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not complaining. I'd like more of it. So it's not a thing we don't like. But man, it's funny because when I was watching Mind, what was it called? We always get this name wrong. The one that where Natalie Wood died on set and they only filmed like half
brain,
of her. Brain. Mind. No. Brain hole. Brain. Mind hole. Mind fart. I don't remember. Mind something. Anyway.
We watched it, too.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it for this. We haven't done it for this
show. Well, I thought we watched it for FilmSec, didn't we?
No, we should. We haven't. Oh. I wish we would. We really should. I forgot. But that was a big deal in our house.
Brainstorm.
Thank you.
We saw it. I could have sworn we saw it.
For FilmSec? Nope.
I have never seen Brainstorm.
No, I guess not. No, it was the other one with Dennis Quaid. What was that?
Oh, that was...
Oh, Independence Day.
No. Independence Day. That's Randy Quaid. Outer Space with Randy Quaid. Inner Space with Dennis Quaid. I don't remember
why
we didn't. But anyway, it was a big deal at our house. This is the movie where my dad first threw a blanket over the TV when boobs came on.
Oh, that's right. But that's the reason why I feel like I've seen this.
That's one reason, because we'd love that movie as a family and we would watch it multiple times. And my dad would do that multiple times, which is great, as if we were, you know, whatever. He was crazy about that. But point is that I didn't know then that he would turn out, because he's real young in that. I had no idea that that would be a guy who would be this thing now, like this
legendary
meme or whatever
character.
It is. Yeah. I had no idea. Just was a guy, a dude. All right. How about this one? Oh, great line about bars.
American?
Yeah.
Where from?
Some place that's got bartenders.
She sounded weird in that. Hold on.
American?
She sounds like
she's drinking orange juice.
She was eating a sandwich, wasn't she?
She was drinking orange juice and just hanging out at the bar, I think.
American?
American?
But she does sound like she's on the phone.
Yeah, a little bit. Or a little tiny man. She's a little tiny.
Well, they
man.
Had a lot of audio issues in this film anyway.
You think so?
I
don't know. The audio work was fine.
Well, no, I mean, but they did with the voice work, because there was a lot of misdubbing where they didn't dub over voices properly, and so there was a lot of issues with that.
Actually, this is a movie where there is a lot of dubbing. No right. question. But you never. There were never times where I'm going, oh man, that's clearly him in studio later. Like they did a pretty good job. It's not like that bee movie we saw with the bees in it.
The bee movie?
Well, bees, millions
swarm.
Of bees.
Swarm, was it Swarm? Bees. Yeah, bees, millions of bees. Yeah,
the Swarm.
Oh, that's a great movie. All right, walking at his best.
I paid you.
Well, fortunately, I had my fingers crossed the whole time.
Dude, that's a nice way to get out of stuff.
Yeah. Wow. I need to have all discussions with my fingers crossed.
I'm going to do that next time I get a chance. Eyeball your women.
You eyeball my woman?
Eyeball your woman.
It's on.
Eyeball your woman.
That's great.
Yeah, those little fight scenes between Sean William Scott and The Rock were a little... I could have done without those.
Those are the ones that slowed it down for me.
They made Sean William Scott's character out to seem like he's a man of steel.
Yeah.
Like, he's just this guy who's down there. Like, he's not... How the hell does he survive? He gets punched and flung and exploded and dropped and kicked and...
He reminds me of that dog that's constantly out in the street and running around. You're like, oh, that dog's going to get hit. That dog's going to get hit. He never does. And then some other dog gets out for like a half a day and it gets smeared.
Yeah. That's a good comparison. Also, I don't know why. I mean, Walken and his people were Johnny on the spot anytime they needed to be, except William Jefferson Scott, or whatever his name is, Sean William Scott, spent the whole movie running around free, doing whatever he wants, finding gold, knows where the statue is. Like, they didn't seem to be able to get as quick, you know.
He's that
like,
dog.
I would compare him to Jaws in Moonraker. I would compare him to John McClane in Die Hard movies. It's ridiculous how much damage is done to Travis in this movie, and he just keeps bouncing out.
His high hit points.
I was struggling. Yeah. Right. I was struggling really hard when you said Jaws at first. I was thinking the shark.
His hit points were high. He was like Jaws and Jaws. Yeah, I had to blow up a tank of gas to kill him. Let's see. Eyeball, I already did that. Let's see. Travis and his legs.
Say hello. Say hello. Say hello. Ooh,
ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, jeez.
Oh, I hated that joke so much.
He kept doing it, too. Kept bringing
according it. Only, according to IMDb, it was also ad-libbed. Like, it was something that he came up with. It was not in the original.
It is actually lampshaded a little bit at the end of the movie when he returns to that joke for the third time, and I'm like, right, wincing, thinking, please don't do this. And then the character actually goes, I'm just kidding.
It was a decent walk away, but I think Berg should have stepped in and said, listen, man, you can't be doing that lightning joke about your Berg. Leg. That's my Berg.
Good Berg.
I didn't even know you had one of those. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much. All right, moving on to the pee joke.
What are you doing?
I have to pee.
Pee in your pants. Move.
No.
No.
Funnier in chunks. It's funnier as separated things. Like,
would you be able, if somebody unzipped your fly, would you be able to?
Not me.
Jump shake up and down it, and get out. Yourself out?
Nope.
No.
Let's try it. Let's find out.
Like, let's right assume now. He's using the standard jockey, right? Like a standard
Let's assume he's got no underwear.
He's got no underwear. Yeah. There's no way it's going around the corner.
Now,
gross,
if he was
dude.
Wearing some jockeys, that would be pretty impressive.
No underwear. He's been in that pond before where the thing goes up your hoo-ha.
Look where he's at. Of course he's going commando.
I don't know. Like, it's just weird to me. Like, you're willing to punch me in the face. You're willing to throw me down, wrestle with me and everything. You can't reach in and pull my wang out real quick for me? Really?
But don't.
I think I'd have to draw the line there, too.
Yeah, I might have, too. I'm with The Rock on this one. Plus, if you're not wearing undies in that jungle, dude, you got, like, black mold or something down there. There's another reason not to touch his Pedro there. All right, moving on to, I don't know what this one is.
And I guarantee I'm going to pee on your head.
No, there's another pee joke. Gotcha there. Threatening him with pee.
Threatening me with pee?
Yeah, with pee. With pee. here's another dumb Sean William Scott moment. I don't remember what he was doing there. Do you remember? Right. What was that about?
Oh, he was because he got sucked up. He got up. That's The Rock got jerked up into the sky.
Like,
and he said, you're like a little bird up there.
That was before the monkeys came. Got it.
About the time the monkeys came.
Here is a great cooking joke.
What are you, a chef?
None of your business. Give me the book back.
Well, looks like you're Wolfgang Stuck right here, huh?
Wolfgang Stuck. That dude, is so bad.
I've been racking my brain trying to think of more examples of this trope because I know they exist. The warrior poet, the warrior chef.
Oh, right.
The outwardly peaceful guy who has, who quotes Shakespeare or whatever, but he's eventually going to, like, Mickey Rourke in The Expendables was close to it.
But you're right. There are more egregious examples, but I couldn't pull one out of my head right now. There have to be, because it was all so familiar. No. Being a, well, that, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why it means close as you can get. Like, if you, the way this one works, he just wants to be a chef, have his own restaurant, and make food. But really, he's a killing machine. So I'm trying to think of another example of that, but there are plenty. I know there are.
Anytime a bad guy is getting, this is what this is. This is a retirement movie. This is his last run. Anytime they get ready to retire from a dangerous profession, they always pick something that's a lot more gentle. Mm-hmm.
You don't mess with the Zohan. Adam Sandler is the greatest Mossad agent ever, and he becomes a hairstylist.
Great movie, by the way.
That movie's not great.
It's
not great at all.
The title of this episode should be Brian Likes It and Scott Doesn't.
I don't like any of those Happy Madison movies. They're all bad.
They are not all bad.
They're mostly bad. I watched There Will Be Blood for the first time the other day.
Okay, wait. That has nothing to do with
it. It does. It does. Because Paul Anderson Walker, whatever his name is, the Texas Thomas Ranger, Anderson. That guy. Whoever made, yes, that guy. He made that. And he also made Punch Drunk Love, which is a really good Adam Sandler movie and weird as hell and like nothing like he's ever done before. But everything else, Little Nicky, freaking Waterboy. Name
the Waterboy. Don't
just,
you say
you're just about. Naming the worst ones.
They are the worst ones. Brian, I know Brian likes Waterboy. You're from South Carolina. We'll let that one slide. It's fine.
Say the Waterboy's not good.
I said me wince earlier when you mentioned Corky Romano. Man.
Oh, gosh.
That's a bad movie. Okay. It's got a lot of connections.
Hold on. We can all join hands and agree. Corky Romano is a bad movie.
We can agree. But if you're gonna talk shit about Happy Madison films, I'm going to remind you that this is the production company that made 50 First Dates, Grandma's Boy, Mr. Deeds, Joe Dirt, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Somewhere in there's a good movie.
But you can't count Madison or Happy Gilmore because those were before he had this production company and he named it after them. So those don't count. You can't put those in there. And I agree. Those are fantastic.
And 50 First Dates is like one of the best romantic comedies of all time.
I disagree. I think that movie is terrible.
It's pretty good.
I like The Wedding Singer better than it. And I know it's like the same cast basically, but I'd take Wedding Singer over that. Now, but you can't give any love or hate toward Wedding Singer because you were a wedding singer. You don't count.
I was not a wedding singer. I was a wedding DJ.
Oh, that's right.
I did not do any singing. Thank you very much.
Crap. In my head, I had you singing. All right.
No, God.
Wedding humming, but no wedding singing.
All right. Right.
Yeah, wedding humming.
Oh, man. That's great.
I'm not going to say I was the wedding hummer. That would be something completely different.
right. Speaking of monkey,
and you know what? Yeah. I don't think Wedding Singer is strictly a Happy Madison film. I think that was Drew Barrymore's production company.
True.
And it just happens to also star Adam Sandler.
And be better than 50 First Dates. All right, moving on.
Asshole.
Monkey with a what? Monkey with a what?
Starting to long for a monkey with a heart on.
Oh, jeez. Holy shite. Slow down, The Rock. Dwayne, The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, and that seemed like it was a reply to something really like a more innocuous alternative. Right. And I can't remember what it was.
It was
like,
getting in the water and getting the finger up.
That's right. Yeah.
He went with option B.
It was another choice. And he went with the right one. Okay.
Just don't pee in the water. You'll be fine.
Here's a trope for you. Trope, dudes with guns don't like something. I hate movies where somebody says something and then everyone cocks their gun.
Right. Yes.
Gun cocking.
It's like they weren't cocked before that. They weren't ready, but now they are.
Bill's cocked. Oh, yeah. He probably should cock mine. Oh, hey. Thanks for reminding me, Bill.
Back to the wiener.
It'll swim up your ding dong.
Ding dong.
People call it ding dong.
She went in and out of the accent, didn't she?
Yeah. I thought this movie was rated R when I saw it, and it's not. It's way PG-13.
Oh, there's
I don't know why I thought that, though. Something.
Monkey hard on. I mean, that probably with the.
Is that what did it? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Might have been, but I swear I saw a swearier, sexier version or something when I first saw it. But clearly I have not, because no other version exists. All right, here's a monkey comment.
What?
Monkey.
Monkey, no. Get away from me.
Yeah, monkey. Yeah, okay.
I'm not gonna lie, I laughed.
Much funnier in audio than with
it,
video.
It is. People
playing numb or drowsy is just like people playing drunk. You have to not play drunk to come across as drunk. And I think
I think The Rock was okay. I didn't like Sean William Scott in that scene, but I thought The Rock was fine. And I like the weird Photoshop stretching of everyone's face.
Yes. How they always made one of the ears or one of the Rock's ears
twitch.
Wiggle back and forth.
Yeah. I love that. The twitching was awesome.
That was great.
It's a trope where I can't identify others, but there are plenty of movies with the magical knockout drug that gets you quick, incapacitates you. You're perfectly safe for like 4 hours and then you come around and you're fine in 5 minutes.
Where they don't do it is Indiana Jones and the first movie, the Raiders of the Lost Ark there, where they give the dates and the monkey dies. And that's where that could have gone that way. But no, see, there's an example of another trope, but yes, there are movies where it's like, I've taken a dart to the neck. Don't worry. You'll be okay.
That scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark will be etched on your tombstone, Scott.
Oh, forever. Bad dates.
Just be like, bad dates. Scott Johnson, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Bad dates.
Bad dates. Hee-hee. But why did it have to be snakes at the end? Great accent from Scottish man over there. Check it out.
That monstrosity won't give a flying fornication for a pair of yous no more.
That's my new favorite thing to say.
I was hoping you captured him talking about the coos.
Oh, I missed that.
Artifact.
I did artifact. You never heard of an artifact? That's great. He's great. More of him. Make him your sidekick.
Ewan Bremner. Oh, I don't know.
You think it would warm a little bit?
Small doses for him.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying I could have used small doses of what's his name too.
He's the cayenne pepper. You don't want to just overuse the cayenne pepper.
All right. Fair enough. Here's something. I don't know.
You got the moves. I'll give you that.
The line of the film, the one that was in the trailer and everything else.
Yeah, who knew that he was about to die there at the end? Yeah. That was the end of
it. I'll bet you this was such a throwaway role for Christopher Walken that if you asked him if he was in this, he'd probably say, no, I don't remember being in this movie.
I don't remember. Was it?
Yeah. You might have. That's great.
Because there's nothing. I mean, it's the same delivery as any thug he's ever played.
Yep. Any mobster boss, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe more so. Like a full embracing of the persona in this one, I thought.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
They weren't messing around. And before he died, he went,
oh, shit.
There you go. Fell on the ground.
Did you guys see Suicide Kings, by the way?
No.
Mm-mm. I want to see that.
Really good and great. And then a very good different role for Christopher Walken, who still plays kind of a thug dude, but he's a thug who's been captured by a rival gang, by a group of these kids not kids, but like college students.
Wow. And, yeah, look who's in this thing. Henry Thomas, the kid Elliot. From E.T.?
Yeah.
Weird.
Oh, hell of a lineup in that thing.
That looks great.
And this is not the really first good. Time you've told us we need to watch this movie.
No, I'll keep telling you. I'll bring it up next week.
All right.
Bring it up in a year or so.
1997. Oh, that's why Jay Moore's in it. Because it was the 90s. Right. Got it.
And he was...
Great.
And he plays a smarmy, sarcastic bastard. What do you know about that?
Dennis Leary, Sean Patrick Flannery. I like him. Oh, I'm in. I don't know why I haven't. Why haven't I not?
Johnny Galecki.
These are the kind of shows I like.
Johnny Galecki. That's awesome.
Look at him, dude. Fresh off Christmas Vacation. He got his pubes and everything. It's terrible. Right. All right. That's it for clips. And that leads us. Oh, damn it. Hold on. I got stuff all mixed up here. Right to this. That's the Film Sack Checklist. Stifler in a long, drawn-out scene about peeing. Check! Christopher Walken doing the same character in every single movie ever. Check! And finally, impossible... let's see. Oh, impossible aerial fighting scene in the jungle. Mm-hmm. Check, McCheck!
McCheck.
I understand. If your hands are cuffed behind your back and you need to pee, you just sit down, right? And you pull your wrists under your ass and under your ankles, and then you got them in the front and...
I would worry more about pooing in the jungle anyway.
Of course you would.
Well, not just because of me, but because you don't want to be hanging your hooch that close to this ground where it's full of bugs and parasites. I just think that'd be the worst.
That would be the worst.
People walk in there. Like I had a friend who went to the Philippines for a couple of months, came home, had the biggest tapeworm thing in his system ever, and they couldn't get it out. And he was just pooping liquid for months on end. Like the poor guy lost like 30 pounds. They finally, somebody went in there and yanked it out. Like, and all he did was, I don't know, I had like one street taco and everything went to hell or something. Street taco. Anyway, Trek stuff. Star Trek Connections, sent to us by Daryl, the Trek nerd. William Lucking, he played Walker, and DS9 played Furl in an episode called Shakar and the Darkness and the Light and the Tides, or the Ties of Blood and Water. That sounds like a Klingon. Would I be wrong? Maybe. Who knows? Mm-hmm. On Enterprise played Herod Sar, and Bound also played Colonel Lynch on the A-Team. So that's important. Let's see. Todd Stashwick Quadrant Manager. In Enterprise, he played a Romulan undercover agent disguised as a Vulcan named Talok in the episode Kirshara. Sounds like a place to quest in World of Warcraft. That's weird. Anyway, and it even has a little apostrophe in there. Jeff Chase played Kabui, something alien dude. Oh, he's a Starfleet alien cadet
can do it.
In the 2009 thing. He's the Smurf hat guy.
Oh,
you know what I mean? That guy. And then Donald R. Jankowitz. It's a great last name. He played a goon in this. And Voyager appeared alongside his brother Patrick as a Hannon 5 native in the episode Basics Part 1 and Part 2. Soundtrack great. I'd give it an AA for action appropriate. It was fine. Didn't need to be anything special. It worked just fine. Did the job it was intended to do. Let's sum it up in 140 characters or less. It's a Twitter post, folks, and it comes first from Randy.
The Rundown. A chef with a tremendous amount of calm on top of extreme anger management issues goes to a different country where he fights everyone. That's right. It's Gordon Ramsay.
Nice. Well done. Also, Brian Dunaway.
The Rundown. Like being a guest in another man's house, don't reach into his refrigerator without asking, because you might grab what the Rock is cooking.
Yeah. What the Rock is chilling. What he's blanching. How about that? Look at me.
look at me all.
All cookie.
Words of the cooking.
Yeah. Yeah. You smell what the words of the cooking. Also, now finally, Brian Ibbett.
The Rundown. This is what happens when The Rock wants to be in an Indiana Jones flick, a commando-style film, and a bounty hunter movie, and you only have enough money for one. And this is also what happens when Sean William Scott wants to be in a movie.
Nicely done. Awesome. What was that other one he did with Chun Yao Fat? It was, remember that? It was supposed to be a big deal.
Oh, Shanghai Down.
Is it Shanghai Down?
No. I just came up with a name for a movie.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Shanghai Down. You took Black Hawk Down and Shanghai Surprise, and boom, there you have it.
Right.
I always think of Sean William Scott playing Bo Duke in the Dukes of Hazzard remake.
Oh yeah.
Still
I
never saw.
That.
I've never seen that. And that you think I would? Because I like what's his name a lot. Johnny Knoxville
is what you're thinking.
Bulletproof Monk. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that was shite. I didn't see it.
I saw that. It was okay.
It was all right? Okay.
It was okay.
All right. Good. I like it when it's okay. Okay. It's okay. Ooh, look at this. It just delivered to me the new alternate title for the film. Quote, Rambo and Commando had a baby. They named it The Rundown, unquote. There it is. There it is, everybody. Emails. Got a couple emails here from listeners. We love these. Send yours in to filmsack@gmail.com. First one reads like this. Comes to us from Chuck in Long Beach, California. Hello, Film Sack crew. I'm a new listener to the Film Sack, and I'm really enjoying it. I like that he called it the Film Sack. I recently decided to see how all this nonsense started and listen to the episode about Kroll, our first episode.
Debut. Yes. One of my favorites.
I don't remember how old I was when I first saw it, but I remember liking it. It always burns or bums me out that he loses the glaive at the end. Not that he would have used it for much after the killing the beast anyway. But anyway, a question for the crew. Do you think they should do a remake of Kroll? Yes. What if they were able to get Peter Jackson to direct it somehow? Do you think he would be able to give Kroll a new look, better story, etc.? Could anyone resurrect Kroll for a new audience? Discuss. Yes. Okay. Go. Who? What? How?
Yes. All of that.
Okay. Sure. All those people and more. Could make a fantastic.
I think if there's already
a remake of Judge Dredd, seriously.
But there's no. The Dredd thing has a popular comic book source, so you can ignore the Stallone garbage and go straight to the source again. This doesn't have that. It is strictly the film. And is there a demand for this?
Is there anything unique about Kroll that hasn't been done in 50 science fiction movies since?
The glaive.
Wait. You're forgetting something.
Not the glaive. Don't bring up the glaive.
We should totally bring up the glaive. Let's you're forgetting something. In this past year, we've watched movies.
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Brett
Dunaway. Play the glaive card.
If they can make a movie based on Battleship.
Right.
They can make a movie about Kroll with no questions asked.
I love that.
Not a single question.
Endorsement for Battleship. There.
Well, it's being unnecessarily trashed. It just doesn't go that bad.
If there was no tie in at all, because there was nothing in the movie that even really remotely tied into the game. Like nobody.
Oh,
at the very,
yes, there was.
What did somebody? What's his name? Once said,
"You
did,
sunk my battleship." I will. Like that.
Yeah. Did he say that? Is that what happened? Or did someone say A1?
In order to track the alien boats, they literally pretend that the ocean is a grid of markers.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, you're the one defending this.
Yes, I am.
Well, all I got to say is they better make some more caves like vaginas.
Yeah, no doubt, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That was our very first cave like a vagina thing.
That's right. We're desperate for a movie that's got one of those.
We haven't had one of those in a while. I would say this about any movie with Kroll in it. You bring back. Any movie, any remake of Kroll, sorry.
Okay.
Wasn't Liam Neeson in that, or am I thinking of a different movie?
That's Battleship.
No, I know Battleship did. But that was my point. Go ahead and just recycle him again. It's fine. Is he the one said you sank the Battleship? Is he the one that said,
if you take my boat, I will find you. And I will kill you.
All right.
I'm about to sink your battleship.
Thank you, Chuck, in Long Beach.
I know you're
the bed. Yeah. Now they're going to shoot you with torpedoes. Randy is another guy that wrote in. Not our Randy, different Randy. Says, hey, Sackers. In the Footloose episode, this is last week, you talked about the 80s music. You mentioned a song, Dancing in the Streets. Well, the song is actually Dancing in the Sheets. Mm-hmm. He says it's about making love, not real dancing. Thanks. Love the show, guys. Keep it up. Randy from Iowa.
Did I say Dancing in the Streets? I definitely meant Dancing in the Streets. We're talking about the Shalimar track from... Mm-hmm.
I think he meant, well, you just now said, did I say Dancing in the Streets? I meant Dancing in the Streets. And you said Streets again. Yeah.
I meant Dancing in the Sheets.
I think it's entirely possible we let that slip because that's the one where David Bowie and Rolling Stone rub butts, right?
Mick Jagger, right? Rubbing butts in there.
Rubbing butts.
You guys remember something?
Pastel-colored outfits, yes.
Do you guys remember that really weird show that I was like, oh. It always came on with Dancing in the Sheets, whatever. It came on with that, and it was
It's a Dancing with the Sheets. What's that called? What's that?
It used to come on Friday nights. It was really weird, and it was anyway, girls dance around in lingerie. You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
No? All right.
no, that sounds very familiar. Was it a music show, like a Solid Gold kind of thing?
Right. And it had, what was the name of that?
Very 80s though, right?
Yes,
right,
I totally remember that. And yeah, and all the women were in lingerie. I totally remember this. It was like the, whatever the current hits were.
Right.
Which were never great.
And it was hosted by somebody that was,
like Lorenzo Lamas.
Lorenzo Lamas. It was Lorenzo Lamas. Exactly what it was.
Holy shit.
Right. What the hell was this thing called? I gotta look it up now.
It's like you guys just dug a hole in a movie and someone just hit a hard piece of wood and they realized they hit what they needed. What is that called?
Let's see. Television work.
Wasn't Solid Gold.
California Fever. No.
Oh, and that Solid Gold would come on in my house. Everybody watched it. What were we doing?
Maybe it wasn't Lorenzo Lamas. Was it a different Lamas?
Was it Lorenzo's brother?
Oh, Dance Into the Hits. Dance Into the Hits.
Dance Into the Hits.
Was it a different Lamas?
Aren't there other Lamases?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Are any other famous Lamases?
Yeah, so here we go. It's Dance Into the Hits was a nationally syndicated TV show hosted by Lorenzo Lamas during the 1986-1987 season. Professional dancers performed to a medley of top 40 hits and live acts performed. Some of the acts that performed were the SOS Band and Samantha Fox and Stacey Ladisaw.
Sounds right. Yeah. Sounds about right.
By the way, Scott, yes, Fernando Lamas.
What did he do?
He was a famous actor.
Really?
Yeah.
So famous. I have never heard of him. What should I know him from?
We're talking old. Like he was big in the.
It's his dad, isn't it? Isn't that who Fernando Lamas is?
Is it
Fernando?
Is it
Lamas?
Oh, that would be interesting.
Oh yeah. See, look at this guy. He died in 82 of age 67. So he wasn't even around for. Yeah, it must be his dad.
He is Lorenzo Lamas's dad. That's so interesting.
That's great. Policewoman, look at all these shows. Angels.
I just sent y'all, by the way, I just sent y'all the link to the Dance Into the
Hits.
Is
there a video? Oh my god. Intro. I can't wait to watch this.
Let's play it. We'll get a little audio out of it here. Let's see. Okay. YouTube. That's a place.
So just hit play and see what happens.
Oh my gosh, they are wearing. Welcome. They're all wearing pajamas and the hits,
starring Sweet Dreams with Jeff and Cheryl.
Oh, and then I forgot about that dude, Bill.
Eartha and Aurora.
Eartha and Aurora. Who else?
Priscilla.
Priscilla, all right.
The guy with the suspenders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Barry.
Barry is his name. His name is Barry.
Barry Lather is his name, yes.
Barry Lathers?
Barry Lather, again, according to the Wikipedia article.
Oh, I'll pay him $50 to go to the courthouse and change his name. Barry Lather. I would donate money to help that guy. That's awful. So they really literally, let's see, let's skip ahead to this guy. Oh, they had a guy that was like, they have a guy.
Billy Idol.
Yeah, Billy Idol guy. I love it. They're theming it based on the era. We need a guy with a torn shirt and short blunt spiky hair.
She's our Cyndi Lauper. All right. She's our Bonnie Tyler.
So here's a dude talking.
Hi.
That's Lorenzo
Lamas. Lorenzo Lamas. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
this is Dancing to the Hits, the show where the bodies do the talking. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Wow.
And they're just ignoring the fact that they're all in
sanitizer right now.
Lingerie.
How does that hand sanitizer taste?
Like like sadness. That's what it tastes like. All right. Hey, next email. No, movie. Next movie. Next week. Event Horizon. We kick
Event
off October Horror. No, I'm sorry. Four Rooms. My bad. Don't get too
excited.
Don't get too excited. Four Rooms first, then Event Horizon.
If all of our October movies are going to be horror, maybe we... maybe we don't discuss this during the show, but maybe we bump it.
I don't know. I mean, Four Rooms is interesting to me.
It is.
As a film.
And it kind of goes with this time of year.
Actually, there are witches. Yeah, let's stick with Four Rooms.
Four Rooms, then Event Horizon. It's just Event Horizon is so tasty.
We've got three consecutive horror films for October. We're going to be fine.
We're good.
That's better than any other October, I think, that we've done. Mm-hmm. So we're sticking with that. So there you go. Four Rooms is next, then Event Horizon, and then who the hell knows who's on
the Dead Zone, Trick or Treat, Escape from LA, The One, Bad Boys, Daylight, 48 Hours, XXX.
Perfect. Nice. Wait, another. So we're that close to another Christopher Walken film. Fantastic. Yeah,
exactly.
That'll be great.
One of the first Christopher Walken films, too.
Back when he was kind of normal and not weird. So there you go, folks. What? Oh, not so much. Kind of always
not so
weird.
Much.
Okay. Fair enough. Very excited to bring that to you guys, so stay tuned for all of that. In the meantime, please visit the website, filmsack.com. You can link off to all the cool stuff we're doing over there. Please do, filmsack.com. You can also email us, filmsack@gmail.com, and on Twitter, @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes, because we love reading those. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yep.
We'll see you next time.
We are all starting to long for a monkey with a heart on.
Oh, yeah.
A little thunder, a little lightning.
Lightning.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.